Hey everybody, welcome to Gaming My Whole Life. This is episode 32, where we talk games, follow the industry, and geek out from pixels to now. My name's George, the host, and my co-host Jamil has joined us. How are you, buddy?
Yeah, I'm doing great, George. Thanks for asking. Lovely to be here with you again. So I'm ready to talk about games because I'm very excited about today's conversation.
Awesome. That's always the attitude which I like to bring to the show. The first point, which I thought would be fun for us to go over today, is something that's making the news a lot in the gaming world, and that is the fact that Nintendo has finally joined Sony and Microsoft as far as a paid online subscription goes. Now, for clarity, Nintendo has provided online services. In other words, you could play your games online. The difference has been that up until now, it's been free. So there's been support for it. There's been, at least from first sight, seems to be a lot of backlash against the service. And that's what I thought would be fun to talk about a little bit today.
Okay.
Is our thoughts on it. And I thought it would be fun, Jamil, to just give you the raw information as to what it is Nintendo is providing. And you can let me know, as a potential consumer, how you feel about that. Because you don't know it yet, you can give us an unbiased, honest opinion.
Yeah, well, that's right, because I actually do not know anything about this. So I am being educated by you in this conversation. So all of my reactions are going to be pretty raw.
Yeah, exactly, which is great. That's exactly what we want. So the first thing which I want to point out is this service literally only came about yesterday.
Okay.
So we've maybe just passed the 24-hour mark, depending on which area of the world you're in, but Nintendo is available. Now, it's a little bit of a shock for anyone who isn't in the know-how, because one moment you have access to the internet, and by access to the internet, I mean playing online, and the next moment you boot up your Switch, you're going to try to play Splatoon 2 or Mario Kart or whatever the case being, and all of a sudden you get a little pop-up saying, hey, this feature's only available to members, and it gives you a link and tells you to pay.
Okay.
Now, so that's how some people will learn if they haven't been following it up online.
So does this mean that, like, so they're making you pay for what they used to give you for free?
Exactly, yes. And that's where the knee-jerk reaction is coming from a lot of people, because you have two sides of the fence. You have the side of the fence, which personally I actually find myself on, and that is, hey, Nintendo's only now, in 2018, started charging for online services, whereas Sony started many years ago on the PS3, and Microsoft started on the original Xbox. So Nintendo has literally joined, so I believe Sony started in 2006, charging people for the online services.
Okay.
And Microsoft even before that. Now, a lot of people feel that since Nintendo hasn't charged us all this time, why should they start now?
Mm.
The thing to that is, I feel Nintendo has... See, in some areas, they're better. In some areas, they're definitely worse and you get less.
Mm.
But one thing which I like to stress is, one, I feel that people should have expected this to come, because we've been playing online with the Nintendo systems since the Wii. So the Wii was with the motion controls. This was even before Nintendo even had an HD console. Mm-hmm. And during that whole time, I got to play online, I got to enjoy the Wii Shop and download digital titles. And this was all free, it was on Nintendo, and we thought, cool. You know, they're not charging, whatever. Then the Wii U came out, so another console. Once again, do everything online, don't get charged. Now, by this stage, Sony and Microsoft were well into their paid subscriptions. And that costs just under $80 a year for both Microsoft and both Sony. Now, here's why I don't necessarily want to give Nintendo a free pass, but just more consideration, is their service costs $34.95.
A year?
A year.
Sure.
So it's significantly cheaper,
okay,
more than half. And to take it a step further, what me and my partner have done is we've bought a family pass,
okay,
which a family pass isn't actually available on the other video game consoles. This family pass is just $54.95, and you can have up to 8 accounts linked to this. So $54.95, you can have 8 different user accounts, access everything that Nintendo offers, and you're still like $20-$30 below the competition.
Okay, quick question I have for you is, now that you're paying, are they giving you anything more than they used to give you for free?
Yes. How Nintendo is attempting to swing people over their side is they're using a similar tactic to what the others already do. So if you have Xbox Live, which is Microsoft offering, or you have the PS Plus, which is the PlayStation offering, you get a number of things with your subscriptions. You get online discounts. So if you're buying games from their video game store, they all have their digital online one. You can get it for cheaper compared to retail,
okay,
which is pretty nice. And both Sony and Microsoft give you a free game each month. You'll get a couple free games.
Right.
And the only caveat to that is you only have access to those free games as long as you remain a paid subscriber.
Right, that's fine.
So, yeah, exactly. And which is cool. On the PlayStation, you download it to your hard drive. It's available to you. As long as you stay with them, you keep playing it. And on the Xbox, you actually get downloads from two areas. You get from the original 360 library, which was the Xbox console right before the current one, which is Xbox One. Now, if you download a 360 game, you get to keep that forever. So that's actually cool, regardless of if you have the subscription or not.
That's good.
Yeah, but if you download an Xbox One game, then you just while you're subscribed.
Okay.
What Nintendo has done is they've done their own little twist to it, and they've pretty much created their own gaming Netflix. And to start off with, for only paid members for the online subscription, is you get access to specific original Nintendo games. So from the very first system, and to start off with, you get 20. So 20 full-fledged Nintendo games. Play them as you want. It's streamed to you, so you don't need to buy it. It's just part of your subscription. And each month, they plan on releasing a few games. Now, that's pretty much the offering to start with. What do you think of those basics before I get into any specifics?
That's if you hadn't have told me that they are going to give us extra stuff for a free service that they used to just provide with the console, then I would have gone, oh man, that's completely unreasonable. The other thing that I am going to say, though, the evil empire strikes again.
You've been waiting for this opportunity.
Oh, yeah. I've been waiting for this. Here comes the evil empire. First, they want to stop us from having, you know, the ability to trade games, trade them in once we're done, have some sort of resale value, you know, normal stuff that video gamers have been doing for years and years. And now they're just, you know, locking off the online service and really taking advantage of their install base. Because, you know, more seriously, imagine you're a parent. You know, because we've touted this on the podcast, this system before, right, as being a great option for like a young family, because it's, you know, there's so much options and there's so much great, you know, services that came with it and all that kind of thing. And it does smack a little bit of, now that they've built this install base based off of, you know, the basically the features that came out of the box with, that it came advertised with. We have Nintendo taking advantage of the install base in such a way where, you know, the system came, you know, out of the box with certain features that people bought this game on the proviso that, you know, this is what the console comes with. These are the features, this is the situation. And partway through the life of the console, they've changed the they've moved the goalposts. You know, that now they're saying, okay, to access all this online content, you have to do this. So imagine parents with kids who have got, like, you know, play Splatoon. I'm not going to use Fortnite as an example because the Switch version of Fortnite's only pretty brand new. And, but, you know, that could have been something that lured a parent to buy the Switch, you know, as a joint controlling thing that they can have centralized that their kids can play. And now all of a sudden, when all of these kids are mad to play online gaming, they suddenly have this new subscription that they have to fork out.
Glad you mentioned the Fortnite game, because I just want to cut in for a second. One thing which makes no sense, so I do not understand what rules they were playing with, is the Fortnite game. Switch owners who have not paid for the online subscription can actually still play that game online, because the developers behind Fortnite are actually willing to pay for the servers or something.
Wow.
Yeah, so that really hit me by surprise, because I would have thought if Nintendo said, right, you only have access to online through our online subscription, but at the same time, another developer can be like, that's fine. We'll do our own thing and cover it. It makes me question just how strict is that rule? Like, on one hand, you're doom and gloom, you have to pay for this online, and then another game that's already been out for a while is like, don't worry about it.
That's so crazy.
It is. I'll let you continue. I just thought that was relevant since you mentioned Fortnite just now.
Okay. It's that is really weird, isn't it? But it is. But it makes sense insofar as they, you know, they effectively just want to have people log into their, you know, their server and play their games. So it makes sense for them to pay for that install base so that they can effectively just maintain the popularity of their game and not lose any steam on the back of Nintendo's business decisions. So that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool from developers of Fortnite. But the other thing is that I'm okay with with Sony and Microsoft having their subscription from the start, because at the very least, even if it's expensive and et cetera, it's at least something that you're aware of from the get-go. It's not a surprise, didn't get sprung on you, or even if I imagine there's going to be people who are very well aware of what was going to happen. But your average, everyday person may not have been across that, you know?
Yeah.
So that's my main concern with regards to it.
Okay, so you feel like it's a bit of a carpet being pulled out of the feet. You know that Nintendo advertised their Nintendo Switch console as, here's its features, play online for free, people signed up for it, and then there's a bit of a, psych, for the first time we're going to charge you for this feature.
Yeah.
So there's definitely going to be reactions to that. And I totally get that, because when you compare free to paying, naturally you're not going to have a good reaction to it. But I can't help but feel that it still doesn't feel too unreasonable, just because, as I said, I felt like we had a really good run. Like, during all the older previous Nintendo systems, I knew that out of the three, Nintendo were the only company who was stubborn and said, we're not going to charge for online. And they held on to that for generations, really. And yes, they have caved to it, and they could have been the better one. They could have been the company who never caved into it and just always provided online. But I feel that when you can charge money for online, you can slowly build and invest in the infrastructure and everything.
Yeah.
Like the PS4 and the Xbox One, this is not the other company's first online paid endeavor. Like, they've been collecting money for years. If you think about it, if you have, you know, an install base of at least 50 million and more by the end of their life cycles, and say 20 million of that, the PS4 is up to like 70 million or something ridiculous.
That's crazy.
Yeah, let's say 20 million of that, and the number's probably higher, to be honest. Let's say 20 million of those people are paying for the online subscription. 20 million times 80. We like that's just a huge, that's a huge number, right?
Yeah.
And that's just taking one console into consideration, not taking everything else.
Mm.
Now, Nintendo have jumped into this, and just because they're new doesn't mean they should get a free pass, but they've jumped into it, and I feel it's as if they have their own self-acknowledgement, been like, right, we're not going to get as good as the other guys, because the areas which they haven't done well, which I actually haven't mentioned to you, is two things. One, if you, and this just seems to be poor choice, frankly, is if you want to talk to people online, say you're playing Mario Kart online, and you want to talk to them, it isn't a simple fact as getting like a wireless headset with a mic.
Yeah,
you have to download and install a Nintendo phone app on your smartphone, and you connect to other players through that, and you're actually talking to them through the phone.
Yeah. Realistically, I think this is just reflective of Nintendo not having the same hardware capabilities as Sony or the Microsoft console, because I would say that if Nintendo had a product that had the same hardware capabilities as the other two consoles and the same requirements to play, you know, these high-level games online, then they would charge $80 too. 100% they will. The reason their subscription costs less is because their server costs are less. You know, basically, an emblematic of that, the best example is the example you just gave. They don't even have their own microphones. You have to use it on your phone. You know, use your own hardware. So I think it's all relative when it comes to that.
Okay, so you feel there's more behind the scenes. It isn't simply a matter of maybe Nintendo's being stubborn or just doing poor choices. Well, there could be some stubbornness and poor choices, but you reckon there's also technical aspects that we may not be aware of.
Hmm.
Okay, look, that's a fair and relevant argument. The other thing which a lot of people are kicking up a fuss about is one of the demands which players have wanted from Nintendo for quite a while is cloud saves. So that's when you play a game and you save your data physically onto your actual console, but you also save the data in a cloud. So then if you've been playing a game and you've invested 200 hours into it, whatever the case, and say your console gets damaged or your game gets corrupted or you need to get a new console altogether, if your data is saved in a cloud, you can always retrieve it.
Yeah.
It isn't lost. And Nintendo has finally brought that with the paid service, right?
Mm.
But it's come with a little bit of a condition, and that is that not all games simply automatically get access to this cloud save, and that in fact certain select titles will not support cloud save. Splatoon 2 and Mario Kart 8 are some examples of games Nintendo has said, we're not including cloud saves with this because we feel it jeopardizes the security of the games.
Huh.
Which got a lot of people off guard, because everyone else is, well, you know, the other companies, they have cloud saves on every game, or at least most of them or something. And why would you introduce a service and then some of your primary games, your main hitters, which deliberately are all about online, I won't be able to save my data? Because people play Splatoon for, they've maybe been playing it for months or years, ever since the game came out. And to tell them that, you know, there's online cloud saves, but the games they play don't support it, some people have been saying that's a bit of a situation of two steps forward, one step back from Nintendo.
That's so weird. See, like, that's so weird and specific. So either that is 100% legit and they've done some sort of analysis and looked at it and just gone, no, that is so risky and we are not going to open ourselves to that kind of intrusion.
Yeah.
Or it's utter bullshit.
That's the thing. There's. I agree. I don't actually think there's a middle ground there. There is either technical aspects, which, you know, we're not engineering IT specialists or whatever. Yeah. We don't know what's going on. So there could be a legit thing which Nintendo doesn't want to have to deal with, you know, and they're like, it's just easier if it's not included. Or, yeah, for some reason, they're just not taking cloud saves seriously. And they're, we don't want it with everything. A strange thing. So all of that packaged together where Nintendo delivers a little bit less, because you have that voice chat, which you have to have an annoying third-party app to do it, which no one really likes.
Mm.
And then you have the cloud saves, which for those games which are supported, it will work, it will be good. But they're sending conflicting messages with the fact that some games won't support it. So it's like, why have it at all? The thing which I actually have a problem with, even though I'm in support for it, just because it's so cheap, because I'm all about that value for the dollar. If I think about Sony's subscription, if I'm paying $80, I have certain expectations of what I get from it. Now, Nintendo is jumping into it for the first time, and instead of saying, right, we're $80 as well because that's the standard, but then giving us less and messing up, they're charging so much less that I feel that I'm personally allowing that leniency. Because, like, right, you're not doing this 100%, you're not doing the best job, but you're charging me so little that me going out once and getting steak and chips for dinner one time costs my online subscription for a whole year, you know?
Yeah.
The thing I have the issue with, though, is I mentioned you get those 20 free Nintendo games, which that's cool, but the thing on everyone's lips is Nintendo has a wide variety, and frankly, a lot of us are a little bit bored of the Nintendo games because the previous Nintendo systems have let you download original Nintendo games. And you get your 20 free, okay, cool, and you get a few a month going forward, which, okay, cool, but what about the Super Nintendo? What about the Nintendo 64? What about even the GameCube? Like, Nintendo has such a huge, vast library of games, which if they were, like, available on Nintendo Switch Online straight away, like, say we all subscribed to their services and we paid the money, and then you went there and every single Nintendo game, every single Super Nintendo game is there, and every few months they release another console, or you have... And you have the promise of Nintendo 64 games and relive those things. But instead, Nintendo fans are sort of being teased with a few ancient games a month.
Like Duck Hunt.
Yeah, like literally that old. And it's... I feel that could be doing more with that. I feel they're playing it a bit too safe. Because firstly, if you're not interested in those old Nintendo games, then they're offering you nothing at the moment.
Yeah, it's very odd.
It is, but we are talking about something that came out a day ago. And that's one thing which I wanted to address the negativity of the internet, is people have just exploded like they were waiting with pitchforks, with pitchfork knives. And
ready to riot.
Exactly, you know, they have their you know, they have their chairs that are already on fire, and they're just bashing each other with, like, it looks like a very angry, scary mob. I've seen like a lot of rage online, and you know, I do want Nintendo to improve. Like, what they have introduced, personally, I don't feel is enough. But we're talking day one, you know, like, they can take feedback. They can improve, they can add to services, and you are paying peanuts for it. But a lot of people are saying that, you know, Nintendo's going downhill and this and that and doom and gloom, and it just reminds me of the attitude that people had before the Switch even came out. Like, before this portable hybrid console came out, everyone was, oh, doom and gloom, Nintendo will never learn this and that. And then the moment the Switch did well, all of a sudden everyone was like, oh yeah, we love the console, woo!
That's... Yeah, it's people having a lot of expectations of what they deserve versus what they're paying for. I mean, I'm a bit 50-50 about the whole thing. I don't think it's a great business practice, but it may just be financially necessary. And there's lots of stuff that's financially necessary, so...
Well, we do need to be mature about some things as well.
Yeah.
Like, as much as I'm obviously... more towards the in defense of Nintendo boat, it does also just come down to necessity. Like, every time they didn't charge us in the past, they were wearing that cost. They were covering that, right? And this whole time, a lot of people being giving them shit, saying you need to give more. And the argument back then was, well, why should we give you more? We don't even charge you for this service. So now they're charging for the first time. And I honestly believe that we will start to get more. And if we don't, well, the backlash will happen. People will just unsubscribe. But yeah, if the other companies can do it, I don't see why it's such a big deal if Nintendo does it at a fraction of the price. Like, why is it okay for the others to charge 80, which, to be honest, I feel is too much. Like, you can game on the PC and you never pay extra money for the privilege of being online. Like, you just need an internet connection. But if you have all the video game consoles, you have to pay 80 for Microsoft, you have to pay another 80 for Sony. And thankfully with Nintendo, we at least only pay that $35.
Yeah, it's a lot of money, particularly if you want to, if you are interested in following video games and things like that. It's a interesting space of the manufacturers carving up the market in terms of people's financial viability and their capability to actually service a subscription like that. I'm talking about it like it's a home loan, right? But yeah, it kind of is, you know. You think about your budget, you know, whether you're paying rent or if you're paying a home loan, then your bills and all that kind of stuff. And then, you know, you've got food and everything. And then you've got that little bit left over for your hobbies, which in this case, video games. It's a hobby we're all passionate about. But at the same time, you know, you need to squeeze it into your budget, not the other way around. And it's going to be interesting times ahead if this is where the market's going, you know. $500 for a console, you know, $30 to $80 for a subscription for online services, $100 per game. It's pretty rough.
Exactly. It does add up. And one final thing I want to chuck into the mix to get your opinion on as well is, as you said, yeah, you get the game console and there's a lot of additional expenses that arise. And one of those expenses is DLC, right? So you buy the console, you buy the game, you pay for the online subscription, couple new maps and characters or whatever comes out in your favorite online game, and you pay extra money for it. And one thing which, this is probably the only advantage, apart from price, the one and only advantage that Nintendo does actually have is the fact that historically they have shown us, and that includes during the Switch's lifetime, that Nintendo actually has a habit of giving a lot of free DLC. So we're talking about Splatoon 2 and that you need the phone app to voice chat. Okay, that does suck, right? But during the lifetime of Splatoon 2, Nintendo has released new weapons, new clothing, new stages, all these new things, right? And that boxing game ARMS, which is fully online, and Nintendo released that quite early, they have released multiple full-fledged characters, boxers, fighters, that you can use, and new stages and new game modes, and there was no additional cost. So I feel that's something that should be taken into consideration as well, because not only are they cheaper, and you know, they've missed their steps on a couple things, but they're cheaper and you even get lots of free DLC. It doesn't mean that they never do charge. Like, eventually they always do come out with like an even bigger DLC pack and say, hey, if you want this, you know, pay for it, you have that option. But before that, you get a lot of freebies which none of the other developers really give you. So I feel like you get looked after in a way. Because like, yes, how dare Nintendo start charging us, but you know, how about the good things? How about the fact that you got a year's worth of free continuous updates for those online games? Like, it's like no cred is built from it or whatever, like only complaints sort of
thing. That is an interesting point, isn't it? Because it's that thing of how, yeah, it's how people assign value to things and appreciation, like you were saying. Yeah. Probably because it was free, they didn't value it, I guess.
Well, that could be the thing. You know, it could be a simple fact of it was free before, now it's not, go away. And it's like, oh, well, that's a little bit unreasonable.
Yeah.
Yeah, can go either way. I think they do need to fix the cloud saves and the voice chat thing. They do need to fix that as well.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a thing of watch this space. The other thing I wanted to talk to you about today, because we need to move back to video games for a second, is we need to continue Capcom's resurgence. Have you seen the new Resident Evil 2 trailer?
I have. I saw it just before this podcast recording. I was hoping you would mention it, actually.
Oh, man, it looks so good. It looks so good. Okay, so for those of you who haven't seen it, it's basically a story trailer. Yeah, it basically gives us a bunch of hints about what's happening in the game if you haven't played it before, or if you have played it before. It harkens back to a lot of sort of famous scenes from the game, particularly towards the start of the game, which is good because you never want to show anything from the last act. And then it's a lot to do with introducing the characters, sort of how they first meet by the looks of it. So each main character, Leon and Claire, they each have their own little sidekick or person who travels with them. So for Leon, it's a woman who's a lady of mystery, femme fatale, called Ada Wong, who very much looks like a secret agent in this trailer.
Mm.
And for Claire, it's a little schoolgirl called Sherry, who has very deep implications or connections to the story's plot and some of the principal main characters and the antagonists and such. And it more or less shows how Leon and Claire meet their sort of other halves in the game, the people who follow them around. And it also gives you an indication of, because this game is not going to have an A and B scenario like the first iteration of the game did, and each one's just going to be longer as a consequence, it shows you how each thing starts and how each of the characters interact with the world and who they come across and all that kind of stuff. And it just looks cool.
It does. It really had a very strong cinematic quality. We've seen more gameplay than cutscenes, surprisingly. And that hasn't been a bad thing, because up until this point, it's using the RE engine, which looks phenomenal. And it's been gorgeous to watch. Now, seeing this story trailer, seeing Claire, seeing Leon, seeing Anna, and just the... You know, back in the day when Metal Gear Solid was like really popular,
yeah,
and there was a lot of cutscenes, but it was high quality cutscenes to the point which if you entered a cutscene, you just put down the controller and you'd watch it. I feel that the same thing can apply for Resident Evil 2. It just looks that good and that engaging. It really sucks you in into the world.
Yeah, what's interesting about it is that the cutscenes in Resident Evil 2. Are very, like, there's no pre-rendered cinematics. It's just the engine. Just the engine looking pretty. And they've just used their assets and they designed everything so they can just seamlessly transition to in-game cutscenes, which is not a new thing. And I know it's not a new thing, but this game looks phenomenal. And the immersion that generates, because you're already sucked into the world as you play the game, and then the game takes over for a bit while the cutscene happens, and there is no break in immersion. It all just continues along that fantasy, and it just looks fantastic. I love it. I love it so much.
It does. I've actually decided that I'm giving myself permission to just outright hype for this game. Lately, for a long time, for quite a while, hype was associated with a bit of a bad word, just because, you know, hype can lead to disappointment.
Yeah.
Whereas lately, I've been thinking about it, and in my attempt to always protect myself, to not be overhyped, because not all developers understand exactly what it is fans want. They may understand enough that fans want a sequel, follow-up to something, and then they do it and the fans backlash, and it's like, oh, all right, that wasn't quite it. And so we always say, yeah, that looks good, but we'll see how it goes. That's the smart approach. Like, we'll see the reviews first, this and that. Whereas this game, I've decided, nah, stuff it, I'm hyping. I've decided that this is going to be one of the Resident Evil games that I'm going to love for all time. And until the game vigorously proves me wrong and then I learn to hate it, until that happens, or unless it happens, I'm going to be in my bubble. I'm going to be hyped. and be like, yes, Capcom is bringing us the ultimate Resident Evil 2 experience. Yeah. And mentally, they've already decided on a Resident Evil 3 remake, as far as I'm concerned. Like, I mentally, so. I'm doing the job for them. That's how much I'm going to.
Well, you remember the promise we made with Jay, right? You know, my old mate Jay, my oldest friend of the whole wide world.
I do recall that, gentleman, yes.
Yeah, we are going to be doing a live recording of us playing the game. When I say us, I mean you and Jay playing the game, because I am pathologically terrified of Resident Evil games. But we are going to be playing the game together while I watch you two play it. And we're going to be recording our reactions. So I think this is going to be something for the podcast and the YouTube channel, I hope.
True, yeah, that's actually a good opportunity. It would make sense on the podcast. You hear a lot of screams, and we'll still upload that, because they'll just hear like the zombie go like, then us being like, shoot it. So, yeah. So it'll be entertaining, but yeah, absolutely, we'll get it on to the YouTube channel as well, just because obviously you can see us play it.
But I think we should record our live reactions as we play the game too. I think that would be great, because we can talk about the game while it's being played. I think that would be a great opportunity.
Yeah, no, that's something we'll definitely do. It wouldn't be hard either for me to just set up a camera at the side while we play it on the TV. I'll get the probably get the PS4 version. That way we can play it on the large lounge room TV.
Yeah.
Instead of like just on my computer in the small monitor.
I'm so hype.
Yeah. Nah, totally. Get hyped. And, you know, Devil May Cry 5 is in the works.
Yeah, it looks really good too.
Mega Man 11 is coming out quite soon in October, if I'm not mistaken. That looks great. Like, Capcom is back. I stand by my original YouTube video, which was just Capcom is back. They're back. They have to fail at like 3-4 different games in order to not be back. Like, Mega Man 11 needs to come out, flomp. Resident Evil 2 comes out, horrible. Devil May Cry, we're crying for the wrong reasons. Like, unless all of that consecutively happens.
That's terrible.
Exactly. Like, I reckon they have a good chance, you know? Mm. Like, have at least one of those titles good, which I have a feeling all of them will be. But even just one, and they're back, because I haven't been excited for Capcom in ages. I'm happy that I can even talk about them.
I know, right?
And yeah, that's all I have to say about that. Before I trail off.
The other thing I need to talk about, and this is going to take me 2 seconds to talk about. Have you seen the joke trailer for the Capcom Beat 'Em Up bundle that's coming out? Because it features like it's like done in a fake 80s style, and it looks like they got a live action actor who looks terrible on purpose to dress up as Captain Commando and take kids from the 80s and bring them to the modern day to play the Capcom Beat 'Em Up bundle that's coming in on Switch.
Really?
You have to see the ad. It's hilarious. If you haven't seen it, it's out of this world funny. So go look it up after you listen to this podcast. And yeah, it has to be seen to be believed, but it's hilarious. And it just shows that Capcom they're back, baby. The games are the same as they were back when, but Capcom are back. That was hole-in-one funny. Like, A+, Capcom, A+. Yes.
I do want to take this opportunity real, real, real quick to just apologize for the fact that the podcast recording before this one came out only like 3-4 days ago. I do apologize for that delay. To be honest, me and Jamel had actually recorded that a week ago. It was meant to come out a week ago, but when I went to submit it onto the internet and make it available to everyone, something went wrong with the submission process and it never uploaded. So this whole time I thought you had access to the podcast that me and Jamel worked really hard on. And only today I had a look at my phone. I'm like, I wonder how many downloads we got going this week, because I always like to check and keep engaged with the listeners. Mm. And I'm like, 2 downloads and they're both by me. I'm like, what? It's like that is broken. What's going on? Then I looked at it and it's just this little red flag saying not uploaded. I'm like, what? Why aren't you uploaded? Me and Jamel busted our humps making sure we had a good entertaining one out and on time.
We really did, didn't we? That was last week was a really good episode.
It was great, and that only came out today. So, so apologies. Sorry. For that. I'll make sure this one actually gets uploaded when we say it will get uploaded. Now, you've been listening to Gaming My Whole Life, episode 32, and I don't know, go and play a game or something.
Yeah, that's right.
Good plan to me.
Keep playing games and don't run out of lives.
Until next time, peace out.
Bye.
Bye.